What's up, everybody? Nate Lurie back with more of We're the Inspiration. With some dark humor and brutal honesty, we're exploring the absurdity and normalcy of living with disabilities. Stories are told on this show, and everyone's is different. One by one, we're going to tell as many as we can while bringing you the most entertaining podcast about disabilities you'll ever hear. Usually, if I'm talking to somebody I know, there's a reconnection involved, but I never really lost touch with this guy. We played basketball together as teenagers and coached when we were too old to play. David Trinsolito, thank you for being the inspiration for this week's show.
How are you doing, Nate?
There are people that would have thought this would happen earlier, but why would it? Because I've been reconnecting with people in the earlier episodes, right? We knew this was going to happen. Didn't have to happen right away.
But here
you are, episode 16. It's all you. So I mentioned that we played basketball together as teenagers. What do you remember about playing basketball?
This kind of came to mind just in the last 24, 48 hours as we were trying to iron out the final details of doing this today. You're probably one of my earliest memories of this. Of course, I'm sure you probably remember this. You and I go back to literally the first day of the team back in, what, 92?
I want to say it was 92.
The rest, as they say, is history. I think you were one of the first ones I had spoken to and met and started shooting around with. But it was probably 2-3 months later. We're in there scrimmaging, but I remember distinctly chasing the ball down in the far corner of the court in the smaller gym.
I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Right. I remember I somehow managed to get the ball before getting out of bounds, realizing I'd better do something with this.
Because you were about to go out of bounds.
Put it in perspective, probably about a foot and a half from being out of bounds and was moving at a real high rate of speed, out of control.
And that's not like playing basketball on foot where you can just like stop yourself. If you're grabbing a basketball in a wheelchair, unless you can stop with at least one hand, wheelchair is going to go out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. So I literally called your name. I think bellowed your name, took a look over my shoulder to see where the heck you were, and literally launched the ball over my head behind me. You've managed to catch it. As I recall, you buried the shot.
I don't remember making practice. The shot. I remember catching the ball.
But yeah,
but if I made the shot on top of that, I hope somebody recorded it.
Yeah, exactly, because that was really before the time of them doing it, but that certainly would have made a SportsCenter top 10 play of the day, let alone the week.
Wheelchair basketball at this point is never going to be on SportsCenter, but we might as well talk about this right now, now that I've brought that up, because we're doing this on the night that it was announced that,
I saw this a few hours ago,
that NBC Universal is going to air primetime coverage of the Paralympics in Tokyo. And we can get into that if you want, but in a couple weeks, I'll be airing a show with someone who has worked with a lot of Paralympians. So
I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah. I'd like to save the bulk of that for that show.
Right, sure. Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
No spoiler alerts here, folks.
Well, I mean,
no spoiler alert.
I don't think it's about spoilers. I think there are a lot of common themes between people that are on the show. So I've had so many, not only athletes, but coaches, that I'm sure everybody that's already come on has their own opinion about this, right? It's already been a common theme on this show that the coverage of wheelchair sports is very lacking.
Yeah, and somebody else you're going to have on the program later, won't mention him because I know it's coming, but we talk about this constantly, like all the time, and I'm sure him.
You can mention Mark's name. I don't care.
Yeah, it's Mark.
What conversations do you have about it?
As far as Paralympics, I mean, just as we were talking before you started recording, there really is not, when you consider the many hours and channels that the NBC family of networks, NBC Universal, puts out with the regular Olympics. And then you see the amount of coverage that you get on NBC Sports Network and NBC of the Paralympics, summer or winter. maybe a tenth of the amount of time on the Paralympics as it would be for the regular Olympics.
Tenth even seems high at this point.
I was going to say, dare I say, because you're right, I agree, totally.
I understand to an extent that airing more coverage of it is sort of risky for a network because they would have to assume that there's an audience for it. But people like us know there is.
Sure.
So and, we should be running the networks.
Right. And what Mark and I talk about is it's the exposure for Paralympics and to get people to see this stuff. That's why we're always talking about the Fairfax Falcon tournaments when we have them generally in November. And I know we're always talking about sponsorship, and that's one of the things we'll get into what I do later. But the company that I've worked with for nearly 20 years now has sponsored every tournament, say for the first one. I didn't think of it in time for what it's worth. They have literally provided the athletes, coaches, and referees lunches for both days of the tournament, for every tournament since the first one, which is a tremendous burden off the team, obviously.
Oh, sure. We'll get into that again later because there is merit in talking about what you do for a living. But we already talked about sort of being on the team, or at least your memories of it, which was probably the most common memory that you and I talk about.
Sure, right. And there, I remember there was another instance at the Baltimore tournament. Again, good old me jetting down the court at this, for me, high rate of speed, chasing loose balls. And here I am, I'm thinking I'm going to get this thing before it goes out of bounds. Sure enough, I don't. Mm-hmm. I let out this audible growl, groan, whatever you want to call it. And you've already had him on. Evan barks at me from clear across the other side of the court, wanting me to like not lose my composure, my cool.
Well, I'm sure.
I'm one to do that by any stretch, usually.
I'm sure Evan told a lot of us to relax. I don't remember that specifically, but, you know, if he said
it. I mean, it's one of those things, it's like, and that's kind of one of the things that's kind of become my mentality as a coach, is like, there are worse things out there than things to have that happen.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because my next point was going to be, you pretty much transitioned seamlessly from player for a couple years to coaching. So what made you decide to stay with the team that way?
I guess really just what I still feel about it now. That's the connection of the whole thing here, of being around people like myself that have similar issues. I mean, we all have similar disabilities, and what I saw of it is, okay, I've gone through those experiences of graduating high school and applying for colleges, getting accepted into colleges, and then going through what turned out for me to be 5 years of undergrad. And I wanted to continue to share that with the next waves of Metro Maulers and Fairfax Falcons.
There we go.
You knew I was going to bring that up, right? You knew I'd bring that up, right? Oh, as long as I've been with the team.
I'm surprised we didn't bring it up sooner, but Evan brought it up almost right away.
Yes, I remember. I mean, we are really the only two true originals still that have any connections with the team and the program on a regular basis.
My connection with the team now is mostly in doing things like this, like hanging on to friendships that I made from the team. I'm not going to spend a lot of time now talking about why I left, because I already did that, right?
Yeah, no, there's no need to rehash.
The one thing I really didn't say about it was what a difficult decision it actually was.
Undoubtedly.
Because
undoubtedly, I get it.
We just said it. We were the originals. So, I don't know if it's this way for you, but for me, in a certain sense in my mind, I felt a degree of ownership over the team because I started it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I just had such a time consuming job.
Right.
That I had to go. Mm-hmm. I had to pick one or the other. And
right. And even for me, because I know I passed it over to you for a while, then we kind of passed it back and forth. Evan came in, as he said in his podcast, and ultimately it's gone to Eric and Lisa. But there was periods of time I was so busy with my job that I couldn't spend what I knew I needed to do to put together a practice that was going to be productive, really.
Right.
Put that background preparation together. It's like, only about so many hours in the day. And even, I'm probably one of those few, even during this COVID time, that still kind of has been keeping an active enough lifestyle to where I'm not just like sitting in the condo, sitting in your room, mm-hmm. and doing mindless nothing, watching 40-year-old reruns of this show or that game show, or I won't mention some of the things I've found that would probably scare
take
living
note,
daylights
people,
out of
that I didn't ask Dave what he was doing during quarantine, but I think he answered me anyway.
Yes. And I won't mention the music that's continuing to go through my brain by any stretch.
Is that why you're always singing? Because you just have music in your brain all the time?
Pretty much, pretty yes. Much? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because how many times through practices would I do that? Especially when you were not running things?
Dave, I've heard you try to sing underwater.
Yep. Been doing that one since I was young. Admittedly. Guilty as charged.
I don't know how I'm going to edit this. You know what it is? We've just known each other too long.
Mm-hmm. I did say to myself, going into this, this will probably be the most fun you'll have on a podcast, even with the editing.
Well, there are parts of this. There are parts of this I know I cannot edit out.
I was going to say, it may take you, even longer to do this with the editing, but we'll certainly have fun with it.
Well, it depends on how long it goes in general.
Fair.
I think the longer ones have been with people that I've reconnected with. And like I said from the beginning, you I didn't lose touch with. So
right, truly. I mean,
we might have a lot to say to each other, but...
Yeah, right. And the last time we may have physically seen each other was probably the last swim practices that were had pre-COVID, but it's been a year. When I think about when was the last time you saw somebody like Greg, et cetera, I mean,
well, Greg,
maybe short of
Greg moved.
Falcon
I mean, turn. I don't know when he did it, but Greg moved to Connecticut now.
Did not know that. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people did. I think he did it because that's where his girlfriend is from. I don't know. I knew he was with her, but I didn't know they didn't live in Virginia until I reconnected with him. And shortly after I reconnected with him is when I got the idea for this podcast, just because, and I've told this before too, but I found myself reconnecting with so many people with disabilities like myself. I just thought, why don't I actually make a podcast out of this?
And because we all have stories to share, right, for sure, and they're all different.
People can tell their stories, and there are tons of interesting ones to tell.
And you know, the title for your podcast is absolutely, I think, spot on, perfect, dude. I heard it, and I'm like, that's brilliant. It really is. It's brilliant.
I'm really trying to think of a way to explain how I came up with that. And of course, we know that there's that song, You're the Inspiration. Some people might not know that, but that song exists. Look it up. It's all over YouTube, whatever. In fact,
one of my personal favorites, dude.
If you type in the name of this show into Google, I guarantee you that that's what's going to come up is that song, You're the Inspiration. Mm-hmm. And how do I know that? Because I did it.
Doesn't surprise me one bit. I was thinking the same thing when you first said that was going to be the title of your program. I'm like, anybody who's going to come up with that on Google is going to come up with that piece of music from this.
You combine that with the understanding that the genesis of the idea for this podcast started with discussions I had about inspiration porn. And again, inspiration porn is something that we knew as disabled people what it was before it ever had a name, because I already had the concept of what the podcast would be. The fact that it did have a name sort of lent itself to naming the show. So we were talking before about your transition from player to coach.
Yes.
And the truth is, pretty much the entire time you've been coaching, you've been working with the younger kids on the team.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that that's kind of where people start, because I did it too. You having stayed with the younger kids, was that sort of a conscious thing for you, or are you just kind of doing what you're told?
Initially, I think I was just kind of going where they wanted me to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it ended up being that I just seemingly gravitated to being with the younger guys. If nothing else, it was like neither of us obviously have kids
right.
ourselves, but it's like watching our children
mm-hmm.
and the kids on the team being, if you will, our children grow from the stages of development here, going from the young levels of kindergarten, first grade, or as we usually would end up getting on by third, fourth grade through middle school, high school, junior high and high school.
Mm-hmm. As long as they stay, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Seeing that whole transition develop and evolve, as you said, as long as they've hung around. Because obviously, over the years, we've had countless military families, etc. So,
yeah, that's true.
Which would be why a number of them naturally didn't stay perhaps that long.
I knew some of them were military. I didn't think about that, but.
Right. I mean, in being the nature of this area, you kind of get that between the fact you got Quantico 45 minutes south of me to Fort Myers right by me to all these other military bases, Andrews Air Force Base, Bowling Air Force Base, again, right practically across from me, McNair, et cetera.
Yeah, but of course, you know, we're not recruiting from those places.
Very true. Yeah. Inevitably, if nothing else, we're recruiting from D.C. Children's National Med Center and facilities like that, NRH maybe, National Rehabilitation Hospital, for those that don't catch the alphabet soup I'm providing.
Did you ever do much recruiting? Because I know I didn't. When I had Joel on the show, I even consciously talked about that because, you know, I'm a Maryland resident working with a team in Virginia at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been tricky for me to recruit, even if I knew where to look.
Right. And I think we'll get more into this at an appropriate time, but it's almost a seemingly inappropriate segue, but I think given the position I'm in now, I have kind of the opportunities to talk up the team and the program, especially with service source sponsoring a tournament such as they do.
Right.
They've genuinely taken an interest in how the team's doing and how the season's going here. And they're, of course, as bummed as any of the rest of us are that we haven't had a season yet to date because of the COVID, but that will come.
Sooner or later.
Yes.
There are a lot of names on the team that I really don't know anymore.
Like sure, no, of course.
My experience now, for the most part, except for this year, would have been going to tournaments, right?
Right. So, I mean, you would have seen...
Like, I would have met people.
And you would have seen, like, Aaron's mother's now coaching the team and has been now for several years. She's terrific. We had Griffin. He and his mother have also relocated, unfortunately, so we've lost him. But, yeah, they're down in the Tampa area, I do believe. And his mother was coaching, which is terrific. I mean, kind of like when Mr. Brown and Paul's father, Dr. Reynolds, was coaching as well with us in that time frame. It's kind of, man, we've gotten a little back to that.
People keep pulling out these parents coaching that I don't remember. Like, when Todd mentioned Robert's father coaching, I only remembered that then. I don't remember Paul's father doing it at all.
Very in and out, because sadly he was, I think, fighting health issues at the time.
That I do remember.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that kind of was intended to happen and really didn't get off the ground. I don't know.
I think Dr. Reynolds was supposed to continue to be more involved as coaching, but this, I guess his health issues certainly precluded that from happening.
I keep thinking I should have Paul on the show, but like...
Yeah, I was going to say, he's another one you really should think about.
Paul's a really nice guy, but my only hesitation is like, I don't remember that much about him.
Sure.
I don't think that would stop me. I think eventually I'll get him on the show, but...
Because I'm sure he's got some incredibly good Falcon memories and such too, and to talk about how that parlays into whatever he is doing with himself now.
Yeah. Going back to the fact that you kind of coached mostly the little kids, I felt that you were better with the little kids than I was. I think I had practice plans more suited for older kids.
Right, and I think you became really adept at creating those plans and creating those plans to whereby you could use your strength quite literally in getting these young athletes to develop their strengths quite literally through weight training.
I mean, it wasn't just about strength. Well, it was about strength training. Like, not just working with weights, but doing all these basketball drills that focused on strength. That was my deal, man. And I'm going to be careful about the way I say this, but I got probably a disturbing level of enjoyment out of beating the tar out of these kids and having them thank me for it.
By the way, I don't know whose idea it was that we got the old tractor pull routines. We still
that was mine.
Do that. I thought so. I thought so. We're still doing that. You may not be directly a day-to-day part of our team and program anymore, but we still do those from time to time.
Do you?
Yeah, every once in a while. Eric still pulls those out, literally.
The only thing that bothered me toward the end of my coaching, and again, I'll be careful about the way I say this, but again, this has to do with the kind of heavy conditioning that I would put on the kids. I remember being told that you got to change the name of suicides. And I understood that part because, and again, this is what I was told. Younger kids were asking what suicide was. And I'm not a proponent of explaining that to little kids. But
by any means, right?
Here's what I objected to. When they had me change the name of suicides, they wanted to call them fun runs. I'm like, there's nothing fun about them.
At least there should be nothing.
Right.
Fun about that. I think the other name I've heard for it is gassers. Not that I like that terminology either, but...
I don't think it stuck, but I started calling them pyramids. Because you build on to what you're doing. Right? Go a certain distance, come back. Go a farther distance, you come back. Right?
Yeah, I mean, golly, I remember even in grade school myself back, I won't mention how many years, doing those as what they called shuttle runs. Mm-hmm. For me, shuttle roll.
Well, that would have been fine, too. Even the term pyramids I got from weightlifting. Because you take that concept of, like, progressively doing less reps and more weight, that's called pyramiding up. So... Mm-hmm. Basically, with the suicides, if they didn't want to call them that, I was adding on to that concept, right? Just keep building on what you were already doing. So that's where I came up with pyramids. Again, I don't think it stuck, but I don't think I ever explained that to anybody but you. So,
right. Yeah, I know. We've used an entirely different term now with Eric and Aaron's mother running things now, especially with Aaron's mother running that particular portion and drill. Mm-hmm. And actually, they've come out. There's a pacer. P-A-C-E-R-S.
Pacers?
Pacers. That's what
they
call it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, because really, the idea is there's this audio file, so to speak. You get the interval thing in there. It speeds up. Pardon my musical reference here. It's almost like there's a metronome kind of keeping the beats here and taking the seconds away as it goes. And each set, the tempo picks up slightly each one. So if the longer you do it, the more the tempo sort of picks up, and the idea that you kind of speed up your own tempo, which gets your heart rate up more and more.
Or at least keep the pace you're doing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the more of those that you do, I almost called them suicides again, but the more of those you do,
pacers.
The more of those you do, the harder it gets.
Right.
So it can be difficult to maintain a pace, but from that perspective, I understand calling them pacers. And I think I actually heard that term once. I don't remember where. Maybe it was just coming to a practice or a tournament or whatever. I think I heard pacers in that environment. And the only objection I have to that is the Indiana basketball team.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. It almost made my mind think of it here. It's like, again, yeah, I almost brought that up when I spelled it out. It's like, as in the Indiana NBA team. Exactly. Yeah, and actually what we do now is we go from sideline to sideline doing that, because there really is nowhere near enough time. I guess you could go from baseline to half court and back, but otherwise there's really no way you could really do a full baseline to baseline in the general amount of time that they expect you to
get. So they had to cut those in half too?
For all intents and purposes, yeah.
See, more or less, that's why I left when I did, because... Mm. And again, no grudges anywhere, but Evan promised me strength and conditioning coach position, which I don't think anybody would have been more qualified for than me. And I said this before, the better the team got, the less time there was for that.
Right, for better and, or worse.
And to a certain degree, even though I, like I said before, felt I had some ownership over the team, being an original member, at that point, I really felt like there wasn't a place for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's not something I ever told anybody at the time, but I don't think it would have mattered because, again, that time-consuming job. So,
right, plus you were working some really wacko, crazy hours.
Well,
honestly.
Yeah, at
working
the time.
The overnight shifts.
At the time, those were insane, but man, radio was my dream.
Right, no, of course, and you have to do that. I mean, you think about anybody in the radio field, as you are, have been. Yeah, most everybody that gets good and gets into the coveted slots of the afternoon drive time, if you will, or the morning drive times, they start graveyard shifts, the overnight hours.
The thing about an industry such as radio, or really anything where you're, if not just general broadcasting, maybe entertainment in general. The thing about jobs like that, if you don't love it, you're never going to get anywhere.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Totally agree. That's why I am very happy and proud to say that I've been working with ServSource in the various different positions and such that I have been.
Well, we got to talk about that now.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to get into it, but I've been at it almost 20 years with that alone here. So almost 20 years as of this year, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you want to get into this right away, but one of the things we talked about as we were kind of setting up this episode, you help disabled people find jobs.
Mm-hmm. Now's a good time as any. Yeah.
So.
Yes, but you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And actually, to kind of, I don't want to say correct, but to further what I'm further amplify on that here, I, of course, pre-COVID, because now I'm working program development, that particular side of my office needs and wants the assistance. But yeah, it's something else for me to learn. But what I do now with the Career Center is I'm actually in a position where I see anybody, whether they have a disability or not. And actually, it's like really the one area of ServSource where you do not actually formally have to have a diagnosed and documented, air quotes, disability to be serviced. So I literally take and see anybody, of course, anybody that I find out does have something of a diagnosed and documented disability that opens up the umbrella that I can refer to other parts of things as necessary and pull this piece in of the office or that piece as appropriate.
Well, what about the people that don't, though? After you've assisted them, what happens then?
Right. I mean, so again, I'll help them to write or rewrite and edit, so to speak, a resume. And it would do this with somebody that has disability as well. Help them with the job search process itself, providing the jobs online, because not everybody's going to know necessarily where to look. Of course, some naturally kind of immediately come to mind. Indeed.com is probably the most likely source and scenario that everybody goes to nowadays. Certainly, of course, there's still Monster and Career Builder and Washington
Post. Pause for 1 second. Did I ever tell you my story about Monster.com?
Please share.
Okay, my father had heard about Monster.com, and he knows nothing about technology or anything like that. He encouraged me when I was trying to get a job years ago to put my resume on Monster.com.
And honestly, Nate, when you think about it, back when you and I would have been doing that, really, it was Monster, and frankly, I think Career Builder was still out there. It was a prominent thing at the time. It was either Washington Post.com. Really, there were not as many options and entities out there as there are now today.
No, not at all. But here's the point. I put it there. It's probably still there to this day. But the only call I ever got once I put my resume on Monster.com was someone wanted me to drive rental cars from the airport back to their rental places. Now, I had two questions about this. Number one, what does that have to do with radio? Because that was all over my resume, right? Like, I had done an internship, and people would know what I was going for at that point.
Two-way radios, as they called them back in the day, CB radios, so to speak. Maybe. Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know. But
and actually, that's a good lesson as people are listening to this here, is to tailoring the resume really adequately and appropriately using the buzzwords, as it were, like that here. You say radio, have to be careful because something like that, like cab driver even, or driver for paratransit vehicles, they still use those radios, those two-way communication devices.
Well,
here,
that's like
radio
dispatch
waves.
Radio or something, you know.
Exactly.
I think I've seen...
Radio. And these search engine things that catch these things, they're going to catch radio, and they're seemingly they don't distinguish between the radio you're talking about versus the dispatch two-way radios.
I think I've seen online ads for jobs where people were looking for radio dispatchers.
Yeah, right.
But
undoubtedly.
Right.
Because they're still out there.
Uh-huh. But again, going back to my story, though, I shouldn't necessarily have to put on my resume that I need hand controls to drive.
Yeah, exactly.
That should have nothing to do with my
job. That's a disclosure issue, which is a whole other ball of wax. That's like the no-nos of interviewing and such. And I have to constantly educate about myself, whether it's with clients or prospective employers and the like. It's still, sadly, even in 2020, 2021, has to be dealt with frequently. And it is what it is.
This was not too far away from the incident where I got a call from Army Recruitment. And I guess they had gotten my name off of a mailing list in college or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were just looking for recruits.
Right.
And I listened to the spiel that this guy was giving. My first thing after he stopped talking, which took a while, was, you guys know I'm in a wheelchair, right? Oh, would you know anybody else that might want to sign up or whatever? Those stories are similar in that it shows why jobs like yours are important. These people that are trying to recruit people for various jobs, they don't care who they're trying to recruit, or they're not looking at the right qualifications.
Or they're just not putting two and two together in a way. And of course, causing people like me to pull hoodies like what I'm wearing halfway over my head, like, this is really embarrassing, because it is for folks like us. And it shouldn't have to be that way, quite honestly, right?
There are a lot of aspects of our lives that shouldn't be the way that they are.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the reasons this show exists is because people that don't have to deal with the things that we do don't necessarily realize that.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. If we want to do a part two at some point regarding more stuff like this, I'm all for it, of course.
Well, there are a lot of things that can be expanded upon. Mm-hmm. And I might include you in some of those because we've been laughing about stuff, but you've taken this more seriously than I thought you would.
Yeah, you know me. I love to joke and get around and have fun. That's why I think, going back to that question you asked me earlier about why I work with the younger kids, it's like they like to have fun and have a good time as much as anybody else, especially somebody like me. It's like I can relate and I can make something that, even though you may be learning an important skill, I could try to make that fun and entertaining. I say this in my office all the time. I almost use it as a pseudo slogan. We could still do our serious work and finding jobs and such, but we can still have a good time doing it. Mm-hmm. And with me around, as you certainly know, having known me for as many years as you have, I love, as much as anybody, to have a good time. Yeah. I love to make people laugh.
You love to make people laugh?
Yeah, as soon as I said that, that's why I repeated that. What's like, laughing?
I don't know what laughing is. I'm going to have to leave that in now.
It's one of those things here. Yeah, I do like to laugh. And every one of my colleagues certainly knows it. You know this. I've worked around me for all these years. The random things that come out of my mouth.
Like laughing.
Don't let me live it down, dude.
The number of things I won't let you live down, man.
Yeah, that just adds another one to it. But
exactly. I interrupted you when you were talking about your job. I apologize for that.
Going back to that, I help people with writing the resume and then inevitably the online job search. And I don't know how much of this you've done, considering you've been in radio and have managed to go sort of between stations, so to speak, seamlessly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always had a job nowadays, until COVID, which is very fortunate, you know.
Exactly.
It took me a while to get in the business, but once I was in, I stayed in. Never went without a job.
Right, because, of course, you had at least enough body of work, and especially in the radio field, once your name's out there and your body of work's out there, you should, in theory, not ever have to go for any length of period, any great length of period, without
another thing about my job, at least this has been my personal experience, I've never had a real job interview. If I apply for a new job...
Formal.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've never had a formal job interview. If I apply for a new job and they're interested in me, I basically get hired over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's, of course, something else that I work with here. And looking at it, obviously you haven't really had to do the whole formal process necessarily, as you said, once you got into it. But most everything nowadays isn't a pen and paper application. It's all online.
Yep.
It's all online, and it's inevitably tedious and laborious. And of course, you got to create a username and password, as with everything else these days, of course.
Yep.
Got to remember those things and keep track of it somewhere conspicuously, so to speak, or have a photographic memory so as to remember. So there's that. And then, of course, as you said, the interview. That's a whole other ballgame here that I constantly also help people prep for, especially if they say they're not sure what to say or what to do, or inevitably what not to say, so to speak. And you kind of alluded to this earlier with one story you shared early on here. I still hear stories about employers, sadly, that are asking, okay, so we're in our wheelchairs. Is this going to create a problem with us getting to and from work? You drive, I don't necessarily, but for me, as long as my paratransit's on time, guess what? I'll be there. And of course, I generally take preemptive measures. I book 20 minutes ahead of time.
Well, that's one of the reasons I took up driving was I find, and I think a lot of other people find, the public transportation side really unreliable.
Been dealing with that for 20 years.
Well, let's get into that a little bit. Why don't you drive?
Right, yeah.
You're older than me, and you've never had a driver's license.
Right. Learner's permit, certainly, but never the full driver's license. But can't even remember the last time you would have been out to see me here where I am. But probably actually when I graduated college, and I was two blocks up the street from where I am now. But I'm in residential Arlington, and everything's so blooming convenient, I can just roll everywhere. Granted, I'm not going to roll 13 miles to my job.
Come on.
When we're not working from home, of course, but I'm not rolling no 13 miles down 66.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Kidding aside, yeah, exactly. That would be kind of interesting and entertaining, but I'm not doing that, especially after a day like last Thursday and the ice storm.
You've okay, never seen a need to drive?
Not really. I mean, the other side of that is with the paratransit, they usually send red top cab and for, okay, don't kill me, for the longest time, I had...
At least you picked a good singer, but go ahead.
Right. I had red top headquarters, Arlington's headquarters, literally 3/4 of a mile from me, so... Most of the time, those drivers that were being called in to pick up my call were more than likely, hopefully, coming from the headquarters, especially at that hour in the morning. Mm. So they could get to me pretty quickly. And even at that, now with where my office is now, as of 2014, the headquarters in Falls Church, kind of halfway between where I live here in Arlington and my job down in Oakton, Indiana. Mm. It's actually not far from James Lee. Depending on the time of day and depending on where they are, they can kind of get to me pretty quickly. The rest of it, I can just roll around for the most part.
But do you think that there will ever come a point where you'll get that itch to try driving again?
Perhaps. It's certainly unnerving to drive. Now, granted, actually, I probably wouldn't have minded trying to redrive if I still had hand controls and the learner's permit to try and drive even on 66 now with COVID, or last year with COVID, because there hardly were anybody on the road, even 95, we're heading down to where my mother is down in North Richmond. Newsflash, there's hardly anybody on the roads.
If you're trying to learn to drive, now would not be a bad time to do it.
Again, of course, now that we're talking about it, you're right. That's what I'm truly thinking about, is when I possibly could have been thinking about doing it.
And, you know, I've been driving since my mid-20s. I've had a license since then. Mm-hmm. I had the fear in me too, man, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. That's all I can say.
Sure. And now, right, and again, I try to stay, especially even around here, as much as I could, off of roads like the Beltway or 495 or 66, whatever.
Now, that said, I haven't driven almost at all in the past year because there's nowhere to go.
Right. And for me, I mean, where am I going to go is locally. I can push a couple of blocks and be 4 blocks, and I'm at Ballston Quarters Mall.
Right.
Mall Ballston Quarters, where I got CVS, and I'm in and out of 2 and 3 times a week or more. Some of these other areas, if I want to maybe grab a bite to eat in the mall, again, 10-minute push and I'm there. It's my exercise, where a lot of us are all wondering how in the world we get in our exercise when the gyms are all closed and such, unless we have, like you and I probably do, we have our dumbbells and everything else kind of in our houses or condos or
it's funny, I have dumbbells at home, but they're not very heavy, and so I haven't worked out too much, but I did a workout with weights last week, And I realize how much I miss it.
I've got a little workout gym with universal type equipment and such.
Oh, really?
Right down the hall here.
So you're much better off than I am in that regard.
But, I mean, even with the COVIDs, they've really kept it closed much of last year. Oh, so it's really? Not like any of us really could have even used that. Hmm. So, I mean, again, we're...
Well, yeah. If it's
talking,
closed,
talking about not getting out.
You can't do anything.
What's the reason to leave? It's like, I almost hate to say this, given how much I'm sure you and I both don't like this weather, but it's like constantly being snowed in.
Yeah, I've had
picture last Thursday with the quarter half inch of ice year round. That's almost like what that feeling is. It's like we're constantly snowed in, even though it may be July and 95 degrees. And if you remember, even people like me, I don't exactly enjoy being out in the heat either, heat or humidity. I just don't do well in it.
I don't mind the heat, man. I sweat easily.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not going anywhere afterwards, I don't really care, so.
Yeah, generally me either, unless it's the church.
Right. Where no, that's fair enough.
Generally, I'd like to kind of be moderately presentable, even if I am in a polo shirt and jeans.
I don't really work out in polo shirts, but, you know, I'm willing to try something new.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily either be a t-shirt grubbier than what I have on.
So going back to your job a little bit.
Yes.
In terms of not only helping people find jobs, but sort of building the skills they need to find them, right?
Exactly. And that's kind of the other side of things is we're not just helping them find jobs. We're helping them truly build the skills, whether it's learn to practice typing five-fingered method as opposed to index finger to each hand, doing the, as I love to call it, hunt and peck method, two-finger typing, which is, and you could do that, I guess, pretty fast, but you could really hit the secretarial speeds if you're doing all four or five fingers, really.
Yeah, I learned to type when I was in high school.
Properly.
That way.
Properly. Yeah, exactly. Properly. Yeah, me too.
At first, I was just doing the two-finger typing, but now, you know, it's kind of just in my brain the way to do it right. But here,
and of course, now there's, sorry to interrupt, but now there's even there's the assistive technologies, a lot of which we have seemingly in our office, in our assistive tech lab upstairs on our third floor, where there's even one where you could literally use equipment like what you and I are using, whereby you've got a headset and mic or whatever, just a mic like you're using on the desk, and you could literally just talk and it'll
type for you.
Speech to text, so to speak, kind of a thing here. Even the cell phones are frequently now, I think they're all set up now that you could just press the microphone button and you could literally speak your text into the text portion of your thing and clean it up and send it.
I've never tried anything like that, but I imagine you got to speak pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Which would be a challenge for some disabled people, honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, at least with like the Dragon Naturally Speaking is one of those softwares that I was kind of alluding to a second ago. It's supposed to, over time, learn your speech patterns of your voice and improve the quality of things. So even if you sound a little more garbled, so to speak, it'll still pick up what it is you are actually trying to say. It's not 100% foolproof or perfect, but
I didn't know they had anything like that, but that's pretty cool.
If you could come out there, I think you'd be blown away to see a lot of the stuff that's up in that assistive technology lab, and I'd love to tour you around up there.
Man, when things reopen, I'm just going to go everywhere I can.
I think you're not the only one, sir.
Right.
My friend. Why am I calling you, of all people, sir?
I don't know, man. I'm itching to get back to work, right?
I actually kind of love the commute of my bed behind me, breakfast table on the other side of my wall over here, and I'm at my desk right now that I use every day.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, this is like the easiest commute ever. But at the same time, yeah, I miss that face-to-face interaction that I have with seeing all my colleagues every day. It's like I actually very much look forward to the Zoom meetings or the Microsoft Team meetings. For that very reason, at least I can hear them and I can inevitably see them
on
the screen.
I missed the boat on working from home only because I didn't actually have a USB mic going into COVID.
Right.
Because now I could actually do my job from here if I had the right software. Here's what I was getting at when I mentioned your job again, right? We sort of went over what the job description was for you, but how do you get a job like that? How do you get a job helping other people develop the skills they need to get jobs themselves?
I guess some of it's luck, and some of it's, of course, the college education background that I pursued, certainly while I was still in the early years of coaching with the team here, because I parlayed getting my degree in psychology with an emphasis in human services, and basically that's where I am now, is human services / social services, really, technically. So was able to parlay that into, and the other side of that was what my internship ultimately was in, is I literally went from school at Marymount University, 3 miles up the street back here from me, to working for Arlington County in their employment and career center computer lab area with what they have, 12 computers, I think, basically what I have now, and doing really what I'm doing now, helping people that are on the computers troubleshoot the computer stuff, which I don't have an IT background, but IT staff will help out with that here. You can learn a lot from talking to your IT folks, let me tell you. So you don't hopefully have to call them every time something minor goes wrong.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, it's not what you ask. But I literally was able to then start working with clients and people that were coming in there with, okay, I want to do this. Or maybe I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And they had stuff out there, which I'm still using now, 21, 22 years later, for computerized career assessments here, that literally you go through with this particular program 100 questions that basically provide a statement that says, I would enjoy doing ... fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And you just say yes or no. And then there's 7 or 8 other aptitude test things that go from English and grammar stuff to mathematics, kind of the semi-basic math to slightly more advanced math. And those are timed, but as I always tell people, I certainly, as a test administrator, the one putting somebody through this, don't expect anybody to get through any of these things. It's not designed that way in the first place. Mm-hmm.
We know that people from ServiceSource are going to hear this. Is there anything else you want to say about your job, where you work? Or
our headquarters are in our Oakton offices. But then we are all over the up and down the East Coast, in Delaware, with regional offices, Delaware, all over Florida, because we run their voc rehab, mm-hmm. vocational rehab. North Carolina, and now our newest one in Utah as of last year, beginning of this year, excuse me. We basically are trying to build and maintain our partnerships to support people with disabilities, along with their families and caregivers, and community members, as I said. I mean, folks like Neighborhood Community Services with Evan. That's why I see him inevitably a couple of times a year.
Right.
To build inclusive communities, so that's really what we're out there to do. And the other thing that we have, that's a lot of our jobs, and it's what a lot of what I end up doing, there's a big program out there, Ability One, ultimately, federally government-mandated job programs that basically stipulate that a certain percentage, and it's a significant portion, it's like 70%, 75% of the workforce must be staffed by persons with diagnosed and documented significant disabilities.
Oh, wow.
So my colleagues, not only are they looking for, are you qualified to do the work? Can you do the job? But they're also looking at disability paperwork that is submitted to see, do they have a disability, if you will, significant or severe enough to fit these parameters?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole rigorous process. And I'm in there because I'm kind of the paperwork intermediary trying to help them apply for these things, and then telling them, okay, we need a psychological evaluation or this document or that document to show that, yes, you have a disability and how it impacts you on a day-to-day basis. So I end up coaching people a lot through all of that anyway. And those are great because they do provide people with disabilities with competitive wage. In other words, they're being paid commensurate to what anybody else would be paid for similar work and benefits so that they can live independently and hopefully, ideally, thrive and be able to grow professionally, which is tremendous. And that's really, people ask me, what do I love about my job? That. To be able to see them, that's really it. I mean, that's what gets me excited about being able to go to work and do what I do here is I'm totally into Service Source's mission and vision in that we're able to support and provide individuals with disabilities opportunities to be able to improve and make something quality of their day-to-day lives through employment, through recreation or other things of that nature here, or even some of our other quote-unquote day programs. We haven't been able to have those programs open and have them be together for about a year. But because of technologies like what we're using here with Zoom,
yeah,
so that you and I can see each other as we're doing this, that'll ultimately be just an audio thing in the end. But now, because of things like Zoom, we can actually continue to have our expressive therapies out there. We have a lady that does, if you will, aerobic dance classes, modified pseudo jazzercise, not quite to that level. And Martha, if you hear this, I know, not quite what you're expecting because it's about them. They kind of pick the music they want. They have their ribbons and their various things that they can use to help express themselves through their own dancing. She actually will create little dance routines and dance steps because she'll point to one and say, give me a move. You, give me another move. And then she puts it all together. And we do like quarterly programs and things for the parents and the community. And of course, the whole office comes in and watches this whole thing too. I mean, it is just the best thing I've ever seen something in so many regards. And they have so much fun with it. And to be able to have this continue is fantastic. And that was something in our meeting today, because we're strategizing for the next fiscal year. It starts in July. That was something I brought up, is we need to continue this and expand on it to be able to provide more opportunities for that structure so that they're not just sitting there watching cartoon upon cartoon upon cartoon or whatever it is they may be doing that's just causing them to get bored.
I think it says a lot on both sides that you've basically held the same job for just short of 20 years, because not only does it show you must know what you're doing, but you must love it too.
For sure. And that's something I think that is my supervisors and senior management say the same thing, that I clearly have a passion and an energy and a drive for this. And granted, I've done other things too. I actually worked in a program for like 3 years or whatever it was, where I was actually sort of supervising and helping people to learn job skills. And we were actually, you'll love this, taking apart old electronics, computer equipment, laptops, phones, like what's sitting here on my desk, and sorting it out by different parts, the plastics, the different metals, the motherboards, etc., for recycling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have that program any longer, but you're putting all these things in there, but you're getting the pleasure of helping these people to learn these skills so that they can make money and do with that money what they want to do with it.
Yeah.
Be able to take mom and dad out for their birthday or Mother's Day, Father's Day, because they're earning a paycheck and making money.
Right.
And yes, you're right. That's something I absolutely love, to be able to share that stuff and to see them when they get it. They understand what they're doing. That proverbial light bulb goes off in their heads. Like, that's what it is.
I think we've come to the full circle point of the episode, because it's been a while since I did any coaching, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, it really is. That's why it's actually, you'll love this, called job coaching, because I use the air quotes. That's the job.
Job test. Coaching.
That is actually that is the job perfect. Title. That is actually the job title. If you go on our website, you'll see there's positions out there, I'm sure, right now. I haven't looked recently, but I'm sure there's positions
Does that make your title job coach?
Not exactly. Not like exactly. That old Hertz commercial back in the day? Not exactly. and that's only because, again, what I do in running the career center here. I mean, there's times where I'd be pulled in to help out with this project, that project. And yes, that's more of the job coaching thing. But
so there's more to what you do than just job coach.
As I'd like to say, for the last 12, 15 years, I'm somebody that wears many hats within the company. Literal jack of all trades. At one point, they actually had me working with some of the film narration and such, put out videos and things, and there was some things that I would have to come in and give little sound bites for and such. So,
nice.
Yeah. Done that over the, like, throw a script in front of my face, give me a few minutes. Much like you. Both of us, either of us, we'll nail it.
Well, generally speaking.
Give us a script and we're going to nail it.
Yeah, but generally speaking, I can keep the script in front of me because no one's going to see it.
Right. This is true. This is true.
In what I do, it kind of depends on the field. Like, you know, if you are doing something for someone else, like a sponsor or something like that, I guess they could tell you what to say, but I think it's more about bullet points than anything else. Hit this, hit this. Just like ServiceSource wanted you to do.
Yeah, I mean, do I have to hit literally every point? No. Hit what I think's relevant and hit as many as I can when appropriate to do so.
But, you know, for me, there's some of that, and a lot of the rest of it is extemporaneous. And
right.
Almost 100% of this show is extemporaneous.
Exactly. And that's where I think, I mean, you can nail a script. That's what you just said.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you're really good at the extemporaneous, too, because you can be serious and you can be funny. I mean, I love your intro, outro, and the way you deliver it here. Yeah, I mean, there's that, as you call it, dark humor or whatever. And
well, yeah, that's why I put that in.
Exactly, because it can come out. You let it evolve. And that's, hey, it's great.
I think I'm a lot better at extemporaneous thought than I am at following scripts, at least if I don't have the script in front of me, which I'm used to having, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, I can follow a script, but again, no one is going to take it away from me because it's not like a TV spot where people know I'm reading. I just have to be really good at not letting you know that I'm reading. So I already know this is going to be one of the longer episodes, and that's fine. But yeah. I'm going to give you one more opportunity to say anything else about ServiceSource that you wanted to get out before we cut this.
It's been my job, as I said, for almost 20 years, and I've absolutely loved every opportunity and every facet of what I've done over there. I think a lot of that is the great company that it is and all the wonderful colleagues and friendships I've made through that, and not of like being with the team. You wonder, you asked me again earlier,
absolutely.
Part of why I've been with the team, you know this as well as I do. It's all those friendships that you make during that just go for the rest of a life.
It was so hard to leave it.
Undoubtedly. The other side of this, we also like to think of ourselves as professional advocates for the people that we serve. We're out there advocating for their needs and for their wants and desires, really. And we have, again, our rehab and employment. We serve veterans. We've been doing that for a number of years now, which is fantastic. I absolutely am in love with that. We've got our foundation for people that like to think about donating to ServiceSource. And, of course, there's plenty of social media that you can follow on. Just put ServiceSource, no spaces between, and we'll pop up. And when things open up, please come by the Career Center. Come see me.
So if you know both me and Dave, you probably know this could have gone a lot longer. I didn't ask Dave whether he'd ever been called an inspiration, but I'm pretty sure from the things he did say, the answer to that was yes. I want to thank Dave for being the inspiration for this week's show, and thank you for listening. Remember that links to our Twitter, Facebook, and Discord server are going to be in the description when I put the show up. Until next week, this is Nate Lurie saying, you don't always have to do a lot to inspire others.